Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay, so today I'm going to be talking to you in English because you might look at my name and think that it is a German name. Yes, it is a German name. My father is German. He's actually in the back right now with his sister. And my other half is Chinese. So if anyone wants to try speaking Chinese to me, you're more than welcome to try. So I actually know Chinese a little bit better than I know German. So if you want, my Chinese is pretty good. So I guess I'm going to stick to English today. Is that okay with everyone? Okay, good. So I know that this is a hackathon, but today I'm going to talk about something that's more related to business and starting a company. So my organization that I started is called Robotics for All, and today I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about how I started this organization and the importance of starting a business and the skills that you can learn from it. And also, as I do know that I'm talking in English, if you have any questions about something that I say that you do not understand, please raise your hand and I will help explain things to you. All right. All good? Excellent. So first, I'm going to share a little bit with you about where I'm from. So I am from Palo Alto, California. So who has been to California before? Awesome. So here's a quick map of where I'm from. This is San Francisco. It's a big city that everyone knows of. And in Palo Alto, which is my town, is there in the bottom right. So Palo Alto is about 30 miles away from San Francisco. And for those of you who don't know where San Francisco is, it's about 11 hours plane ride from here, if you want to sit in the plane for that long. So what the place that I'm from is called Silicon Valley. So this is the term describing the general area, which has a lot of big technology companies. Companies like Google, Facebook, Apple, Oracle, Tesla, they all have their headquarters. The headquarters where they have the biggest office. They all have their headquarters in Silicon Valley. So Silicon Valley is from about Palo Alto down south in that area there. So a lot of big technology companies are started in Silicon Valley. So it is a big area for technology. And also Palo Alto, which is my hometown, is where the first computer was built. So the first computer was built in a garage. You can actually still see the garage today. If you ever come visit Palo Alto, I can show you where it is. So that is where the first computer was built. And also, another thing about Palo Alto is that it was a sister city of Heidelberg. So, yay. And now a big thing in order to understand what my company does is that you might think of Silicon Valley and think of all these big tech companies and think of how much money they have, which is true. They have a lot of money. So there's a lot of money in Silicon Valley. But there's also a lot of places that don't have a lot of money. And the problem with the United States is that the way that the schools get money is based off of how much money is in the community. So if you're from a neighborhood that does not have a lot of money, then the school that you go to does not have a lot of money. So I know it's different in Germany, but this is the way that the system works in the United States of America, is that if you are in a neighborhood that has more money, then the school that you go to has more money and is therefore a better school district. So this is a big problem, because what this means is that schools that in communities that have less money are not as good. And just because they're in a community which has less money. So does anyone have any questions about this? This is a big idea. Sweet. Okay. So here's basically a story of how I came up with the idea to start Robotics for All. So in about seventh grade, when I was about, 12 years old? Yeah, 12 years old is when I first started volunteering at Kidizens. And Kidizens is a Lego program where kids go there and they build cities out of Legos. It's really cool. They build tall buildings, they build fire stations, they build police stations. And it was really fun for me to come in there and build cities out of Legos with these kids who are attending the program. So this program is very expensive to attend. Let's say, for example, if you wanted to attend a Kidizens summer camp, it would cost you about $500 for a week. So that's a lot of money, $500 for a week of summer camp. So I volunteered at Kidizens for about 2 years. And then in ninth grade, when I was 14 years old, I decided to volunteer at Reading Partners, which is the one in the upper right. So Reading Partners is in one of the lower income communities, one of the communities that has less money that I was talking to you a little bit about earlier. So the difference between Reading Partners and Kidizens, well, firstly, Reading Partners is reading. I taught the kids reading and not Legos. But the thing is, Reading Partners is free. It does not cost the students any money to attend. So Reading Partners is just for students who have less money and they need more learning with reading. So if you think about me, I first volunteered at a place where parents were paying $500 to attend a week of summer camp. And then I volunteered at a place in one of the lower income communities, which the parents didn't have as much money. So the parents in the communities where Reading Partners was, they could never have the money to pay for a program like Kidizens. So I remember rereading a book about Reading Partners, and the book was about Legos. And just for a show of hands, who here has played with Legos before? Pretty much everyone. So the kid said no, he never played with Legos. And I know a lot of us here have played with Legos. And for me, I've always played with Legos when I was younger. At Kidizens, when I went to a friend's house, I would play with Legos. So for me to hear that these kids did not play with Legos because it was just too expensive, I thought a little bit about that. I said, these kids, because of the way the education system works in the United States, that the lower income communities get less money, and compared to the more rich communities that get more money for education, these kids do not have the same resources, the same chances to learn new things than the kids at Kidizens. So this got me thinking, because I know I've been in robotics since I was young, and to hear that the kids at Reading Partners did not get those kind of opportunities, I thought, I want to change. I want to change this. This is a problem right now. I want to make a difference. I want to change what is going on right now. So that's why the photo in the lower right-hand corner, that is where I taught robotics to these students in these lower income communities with less money. And this was a really interesting experience for me because I was teaching robotics to them for free. The kids did not have to pay money to participate in my classes. So these were kids who were getting an opportunity that they would not have gotten otherwise because it was too expensive. Because like I said, these programs like Kidizens usually cost $500 a week. And for parents who have students in these lower income communities, that's out of the question. So after teaching robotics to these kids for a year, I decided to start Robotics for All, which is what we call a nonprofit organization, and I think in Germany it's called Stiftung. Has anyone heard of that term? Yes, kind of. Okay, so it means that the company is registered with the government, with the federal government. So for us, it was in DC. I know for here it would be Berlin, but for us in DC, and that we get special benefits, special things that we get because we are a nonprofit. So we don't have to pay taxes, for example, because who likes paying taxes? So that's one of the big benefits. So this is my story of how I came up with the idea. Does anyone have any questions about this? No? Okay. Or are you too, just, if you have questions, ask them. Don't be shy. Okay. So now is a briefly about the organization that I founded, which is called Robotics for All. And I just mentioned earlier that it is a nonprofit organization, and the 501c3 means that we did register it with the United States federal government in Washington, D.C. So the Washington, D.C. government knows that we're doing this, and they're giving us special benefits like not having to pay taxes. So that is what it is, and we offer free robotics classes, and the key word there is free. We do not charge the students any money to attend the class. They have to pay $0 to attend their classes. And the school also does not need to pay us money. So we are trying to solve the problem of these lower money communities of not having these same resources. That is what we're trying to solve. And our classes are run after school, so the kids stay after school for about 90 minutes. And each session, we call one session the classes that we take, are 7 weeks long. So the kids will come into our program for 7 weeks for 90 minutes after school. And that is what we consider to be one session. And we teach first the fifth graders. So right now, we just teach elementary school students from first grade to fifth grade. And I forget the ages. I think it's from 6 years old to 10 years old, something like that. And we also now have 8 locations. So we have our programs in 8 different schools. And we have 2 states right now, which is California, which is the one that I live in, and also Massachusetts. So who knows where Massachusetts is? Could you want to, do you want to share where it is?
East Coast.
Yep, correct. So Massachusetts is above New York, and so it's on the total opposite side of the United States. So we have programs in the West Coast, in California, and the East Coast in Massachusetts. So to give you a sense of distance, it's about a 5-hour flight to get from Massachusetts to California. So pretty far apart, I would consider. So you might think, what do we teach? Well, yep, do you want to?
Why did you choose Massachusetts?
That's a good question. I have a friend who lives in Massachusetts, so that was pretty convenient. Yep, so you might think, well, what do we teach these kids? And the honest answer is that we did not develop any technology to teach. We used Lego Mindstorms EV3 equipment, hardware, and software. Who has used something that looks like this before? Yes, so we teach. The reason why we teach this is because it's so standard. So many people use it, and so many people, it's very easy to learn. Well, not easy. Well, it's simpler to learn than other softwares, and it's also fun because the kids can see the picture instead of having to type out the code. So that's what we teach. And what we did make, we made a curriculum. We wrote out what teachers should teach, what is going to be taught each day, what programs should the kids make. That is what we developed. But the entirety of the equipment that we use and the things that we teach are all developed by Lego. And this is to make it easy for us when we go to a new school. We just need to go to Amazon and buy the new kits. So this is part of the process of making company. You have to turn your idea into something that actually works. Because if you have a good idea, that's great. But if you can't make it work, that's kind of a problem. So for us to turn our idea into a reality, we needed 3 things. We first needed, let me see what I wrote, funding. We first needed funding in order to expand to a new school, because we have to pay for these new Lego Mindstorms EV3 kits, because each of those Lego kits costs $350. So that's quite a lot of money. And we also have to buy laptops so that the kids can write code on. We can buy that. So it costs us about $1,800 to buy all the equipment needed to expand to a new location. So in order to get that, I first put in some of my own money. I asked some friends, I asked some family members to see if they could help give me some money. But I also went to my city and asked them if they had any places to get money, because I think any company needs money to run initially. You still need money to function. So that's what I did. I got city grants, and then now we are also looking at companies because, like I told you, in Silicon Valley, there are a lot of big companies. So we're asking companies to donate. That is something that we're going now. So now the second thing we need to expand to new schools, we need volunteers. Because our model is based off of volunteers, mainly high schoolers, going in there and teaching the class. So I first asked some of my friends and see if they want to teach these classes. But going forward, I needed to get more people to teach these classes. So that's why I went to volunteermatch.com, which is basically like a job posting website for volunteers, to look for more volunteers. So I defined volunteers that way. And then the third thing I needed was the school to say, okay, we want you to come teach. So in this case, I had to email the principals. And the principal of the school is called the director. They run the school. So I had to email these principals and ask them if they wanted to teach their classes. So that's what we needed. So basically for those, I just wrote emails to schools and to see which ones responded. So that's how I turned my idea into actually something that's working right now. So I'm briefly going to go on to this now, because I know everyone in here is very into technology and into coding, which is great. But I also think that there are many benefits of entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship is a big English long word that we have. What it means is basically the process of starting a company, to put it into simple words. That's what entrepreneurship means. But to me, it means more than just starting a company. First thing it means is finding a way to solve a problem. You have to find a problem that you see. For me, that was seeing that there was not enough classes, not enough resources in lower income communities. That was the problem that I found. And then you need to figure out how to solve it. Because if you have a problem and you don't know how to solve it, that's not very helpful. So that's one thing you learn from entrepreneurship business is finding a problem and solving it. I think coding is really good for this because sometimes you program debugs, has a bug, and you have to look through your whole code to find it. So I understand that. That's good experience. So I think another thing you learn from entrepreneurship is self-confidence. And self-confidence is another one of those big English buzzwords. It just means to be able to not be afraid. Because when I email principals or directors of schools, I have to email a lot of them because not every one of them is going to respond. Usually, I email about 20 schools and about 2 of them respond. That's not that great of a ratio. I email 20, only I get 2 back. But that's part of starting a business. There are people who are going to say no. There are people who are going to say, your idea is bad. You are wasting your time. Go do something else. But whenever you start a business, you're going to have people who think that way. But as long as you think that what you're doing is right, what you think is a good idea, then you can go through it. And you can block out the people who say no. Because as long as there are enough people who say yes, that's all that matters. So you gain a lot of self-confidence like this. And also like me right now, I'm standing up here talking to you in a country that's 6,000 miles away from home. So that's also another thing you gain. This is not my first time talking in front of a lot of people. I hope that's not obvious. But this is something you gain. You really are able to talk to other people, talk to people you don't know. I have to talk to a lot of strangers. And then I think I really talked about the third point already, not being afraid of rejections. So rejection is when someone says, your idea is bad. You should stop doing it. This is not good. You cannot be afraid of that because there are enough people in this world who are going to think that your idea is bad. But there are also going to be a lot of people who think your idea is good. So as long as there are some people that say your idea is good, that's okay. The people who think they're bad, what I just like to think about it, they're the ones that are losing out, not you. So the last thing is teamwork. And I might be standing up here talking, saying this is what I did. But a big part about this is all the people who have helped me along the way. We have about 36 volunteers in our organization teaching right now. Like, this week I was gone, I was not back home, but yet we still taught classes because it was not only me doing this. We also have a lot of other volunteers who are there teaching. So you really have to find people who you work well with and people who share a similar vision or share a similar idea as to what they want to do. Because you cannot, it's very hard to start a company alone because you cannot be, no one is perfect. No one is good at everything. And that's, for me, I found that as well. There's some things that I don't do as well as other people. But then you can find someone else who's good at doing the things that you're not so good at doing. So through teamwork, you're able to utilize, you're able to use everyone's unique strengths. That you need to use what other people are good at so you form a good team. So that's what entrepreneurship is. So the key point of this talk is that it's great to be into technology, that's great, but there's also so many benefits of entrepreneurship. And that brings me to the end of the slides. So thank you, and please ask me any questions if you have any right now. Yeah. Yes, in the back.
So you said a project is about 7 weeks. What do you do in those 7 weeks? And is that every day after school, 90 minutes?
It is actually weekly. So we choose one day of the week, either Monday through Friday. We just choose one day of the week, and we go through every week on that same day of week.
All right. Okay.
Then you also asked what we learn in the classes?
Yeah, like about the content that you can teach in seven weeks.
So we actually have three levels. Well, the first level is we have for first to third graders. And the first level is more based off of building. How do you build a good robot that doesn't break up when it's driving? Because that's important. If you have a car that suddenly breaks, it's not a really good car. So that's what our first one is. And our second curriculum or session that we do is mainly based off of the programming, teaching them how to do the block-by-block programming. That is for fourth to fifth graders. And our last one is basically utilizing both building and programming. We give them a project to do, and they have to figure out how to solve it. Does that answer your question? Awesome. Do you have any other questions here? Anything you're confused on that you did not explain clearly? Okay. Who wants? Yep.
Yeah, thank you for the interesting presentation and talking to us about your business. My question is, how do you see the future of your nonprofit? For example, in 5 years, what do you still hope to achieve?
Yep, that's a really big question, and that's something that I still have to answer. And I kind of feel like starting a company is unexpected. There's times. If you had asked me 2 years ago when I started this, how do you see yourself in 2 years? I would not have answered being in Heidelberg giving a talk to people. So it's just, I hope that we're able to make it bigger because there are so many of these lower income communities in the United States because in some places it's so exaggerated. Like you walk across the freeway and the price of the home goes up 10 times. So I really want to make this more available to more school districts. And more kids. That's where I hope to see myself. And we also want to maybe teach middle schoolers as well, because right now we're only in elementary schools. We think that there's also a big market with middle schools. Yep. Yep.
Would you try to teach maybe some students above the fifth grade?
Yeah, so we currently do not have classes for students above fifth grade. Just because we only have so much time. But that's definitely a good question. We definitely do need to teach students above fifth grade. And right now we're thinking we're not going to use Legos for the middle schoolers, teach students above fifth grade. So do you have any ideas? Is there anything you might think that would be interesting for them to learn?
Maybe you could try to get games.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a good idea. We could maybe teach from scratch. I really like that. All right. Is anyone else? Yes.
Have you ever tried something else than Lego robots or something that is not a car?
The reason why we have them build a car is because it's just easy to learn those things. Mm-hmm. In the first curriculum, which is about building, we do have them do some things with gears, different things like that. But we're, like I said, we're trying to make our program have more levels. But right now, we just focus on the car because there's so many things you can do with it.
Are you interested in recommendations?
Yes, of course.
Because,
I'm open.
And they are also based in the U.S. There's this the manufacturer of educational robots is called Bird Brain Technologies. Bird Brain Technologies. And they sell educational robots built on the micro bit, and their approach is more like creative robotics. So they build puppets and also like. How do you call that? So they animate stuff from books. So I went to one of their workshops and we did, everybody did a scene from Where the Wild Things Are, and that was actually pretty awesome. So it's more like also around the crafting part, which is pretty cool. So you might consider
Thank
that.
Thank you for the suggestion. Right, do we have any more questions or ideas that can maybe use if anyone has any suggestions, or is everything good? All right, so I think we're good for today. So thanks so much for listening. Okay.